Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hey, friends. I've been away. I was recently diagnosed with skin cancer, and it kind of put me in a bit of a spiral, but I'm coming to you today from my office with a bandage on my forehead and a 1-inch incision where I had a basal cell carcinoma removed. And I just want to talk about what that has felt like and my journey to finally going to the dermatologist after years of not going because I was afraid of being fat shamed and didn't want my body, especially my back that also had some biopsies and a mole scrape for precancer removed, and what that felt like and why I'm really glad, clearly very glad, I finally went and prioritized my health care. So I just wanted to hit record and update you all, and hopefully by the end of our little chat, you'll feel empowered to advocate for your healthcare and to make that appointment that you've been putting off, because I could be sitting here telling you a far worse story. The mole on my back, my dermatologist said, was one step away from melanoma. And the 1-inch incision I have on my forehead could have been so much worse. And while these things are not fun, and while it's been hard to process, you know, as a big girl, like, oh, I have a pretty face, and now I'm going to have a scar on my face, and I don't look good with bangs. And I know that hopefully the scar will not be a big deal, and it'll totally fade in time. My feelings are still valid, and I'm still allowed to feel sad that this happened. And yes, it's minor, and yes, basal cell carcinomas are 100% curable as long as it's caught early. I have to ask myself, what if I wouldn't have gone? What if I wouldn't have believed that I was worthy of going to the doctor? What if I sat and stayed in that place of fear of being shamed? Like, I like had cancer growing in my body that was continuing to grow because I was afraid of how someone else judged my body. I allowed other people's views and looks and comments to come above my real and true healthcare concerns. And it just is really sad. So I'm back. I'm feeling much better. I had to step away from a lot of things for a bit and just kind of sit in everything I've been feeling and thinking. It's really this unique place I'm in where I do healthcare advocacy and teach people how to advocate for themselves and how to find great care providers and to be a champion with their own patient advocacy, and then to be put in the position where here I wasn't going to the doctor forever. And then I finally do. I shared an episode back in August of 2021 that I had finally found a care provider that didn't make me feel like crap about my body. And like, that was a huge moment for me. Like, the bar, it's been set very low, my friends. And, you know, he's a great doctor, but the bar was so low that just someone touching me with kindness and being kind to me and saying, you know, that I'm healthier than he is when my blood work came back completely healthy. I was so thankful, and I am very thankful for that doctor. But I think I'm past the phase of where I was in that episode where I was just like, I'm so great. I found this great doctor, and you deserve great healthcare too, and this is how you can find a great doctor. And that's also true, and I'll definitely stand by that. But I think I'm now in the anger phase where I'm just like, how ridiculous. How ridiculous that I just was so thankful that someone treated me with evidence-based compassionate care? And at what point do we go from, as plus-size people or just people in general, being thankful that we aren't made to feel badly about ourselves when seeking out healthcare, whether you exist in a larger body or not, but especially for, you know, people who are women? Like, we're so used to just shrinking ourselves and being thankful and, you know, not standing up for what we truly need, deserve, and should have access to. And also people who live in marginalized bodies and the LGBTQ community and people of color and Black people, like, we shrink and we, I mean, of course, I don't want to be speaking on behalf of anyone else, but I'll speak for myself as, you know, someone who exists in a large body. Like, I just accept the bare minimum and I am so appreciative of it. And then last week I had cancer cut out of my head and I realized, like, it's not enough anymore. It's not enough to be thankful for kindness. It's time to get mad. Oh my gosh, this is not at all how I thought this podcast episode would go. I love these sessions where it's just you and me and I push record because I feel like it's therapy and I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. But I think that's how I'm feeling now, is just, I just want to fight for all of us. I really want to fight for all of us even harder than I have for over a decade now. Because I feel the tides are turning finally. Like, more and more I'm seeing a lot of people advocate for what they want and what they need out of their healthcare, to demand that they're treated with, you know, the bare minimum of compassion and kindness and evidence-based medicine. And it's very, very exciting. But I also feel like we're still just so thankful when that low bar is met and that we all deserve so much more and so much better. And I have personally experienced just outstanding healthcare, and then I've experienced, like, these subpar experiences, and finding, like, how can I find a way in my own personal life and then within the work I do to help shift the tides stronger and faster. And so let me step back for a minute. Let me climb off my soapbox and kind of bring us back to August of 2021. I sprained my knee and I was in a lot of pain, and my sister freaked me out that it could be a blood clot. So I finally found a care provider, and this doctor was nice to me. He was kind. He, you know, said I was already healthy, even though I said I want to focus on my health. And he's like, you are healthy. And I was, like, my blood work's totally normal, totally fine, all good numbers. You know, I was being more physically active at the time and enjoying walking, working on eating intuitively, imperfectly, because there is no perfect way to eat, but trying to break up with disordered eating. So I think that's what I was trying to say by imperfectly, is like trying to listen to what my body wanted and needed while also still battling so much of the disordered eating behaviors that are ingrained in so many of us. And this doctor was nice to me, and he helped me to not only get the referral to the dermatologist that I needed, but also to get on anti-anxiety meds, which I've needed for a long time. And so I've been on anxiety meds for a few months now, and it's been wonderful. I'm so thankful. But he had me go into the dermatologist. So in October, I had this dermatologist appointment, and I was really anxious and nervous because they're going to be looking at my body, like, closely, like, with a magnifier. Doesn't get much more intimate than that. And so when I called to make the appointment, I said, I would like it noted in my file that I've been fat shamed before and I'm really nervous. And the woman paused for a second. She's like, oh, you're really going to like this dermatologist. And I was like, okay, good. So I kind of went in there like, okay, I've got my buffer. Like, I've said something, but I totally had my guard up. I was so nervous. I did like all the things I encourage people to do when they're anxious and going into a healthcare setting. Like, I had my phone a friend, my family on standby. I put on some essential oils. I did some deep breathing. I did all the things, and then I went to the appointment, and I was immediately greeted by this very kind woman who just made me feel totally safe and secure. And she reminded me a lot of my midwives when I was pregnant, like, basically like, hey, I'm so glad you're here. Like, your body's a normal body. Like, everyone has bodies, and bodies come in all different shapes and sizes, and I'm here to help you with this thing, and it's going to be okay. And she quickly let me know that what she saw on my forehead was very likely a basal cell carcinoma, which is skin cancer. And it's very common. It's very curable as long as it's caught early. And she made me feel like everything was going to be okay. But it was still scary, like this C word. Like, what is this? Why is this happening? You know, that was a bit, you know, I'm in my early 40s. I just didn't think that it would happen now, but clearly it happens to people much younger than me and much older. And I had 4 biopsies done, 3 on my back and 1 on my forehead. And I shared the whole experience, as I often do, very transparently on the Plus Mommy Instagram. And I did that because not only it helps me. I think I enjoy sharing those experiences because it helps me to like disassociate a little bit and be like, I'm doing this to share my experience with others because ultimately I am. Like, I want to share my experience so people can hear it and be like, okay, I deserve this too, or I need to make that appointment too. And it selfishly makes me feel better. It makes me feel good to do that. But also I genuinely want to help people and encourage people. But it also helps me to focus on, okay, I'm doing this because I know it can help others, instead of sitting with the fact like, I'm doing this and it's really big and scary and I need to experience this too. So it's kind of a both. And I shared the whole experience, and I took this really raw and vulnerable picture of my back with the bandages, the band-aids on after the biopsies. And I shared it on Instagram, and it reached like over 20,000 people. And I got quite a few DMs from people, direct messages from people thanking me, people who made appointments that they had been putting off. Someone messaged me that they finally got a tumor taken care of that they've been putting off. And whew, it like chokes me up thinking about that. And it's really powerful, and I'm so thankful, and I'm glad I did it. But then I found myself really shrinking back from Instagram a bit and taking a break, and I just took a break from the podcast because I realized, like, I share myself so transparently because I want to help others, but that I also needed to sit in what was happening to me, that here I had spent a couple years like just ignoring cancer because I was afraid of being fat shamed. I had something growing in my body by my brain, and I was more afraid of being mistreated than dealing with cancer. Like, I had to sit in that for a bit. And I had to sit in my emotions of, okay, well, oh, it's only skin cancer and people have it so much worse. And then being like, no, 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 like, you're allowed to feel your feelings. I almost just had to talk to myself as I talk to you guys or talk to like my sister, like, no, like, your feelings are valid. Like, your tears are valid. This is scary. And yes, it's so common. I think I read like 3 million people a year get it. But it's still my experience. And I feel like we're so quick to devalue our experiences and think like, oh, well, it's so much worse for others and I can't feel this way. And that's BS. Like, no, no. So I had to have one of the moles came back positive on my back for precancer. I went in to my dermatologist and I had a mole scrape. And that is like a minor procedure, but it stings so bad. Like the healing process is not comfortable. And she told me it was one step away from melanoma. And, you know, my back is what I had put off because I didn't want people to be looking at my back closely and the moles on my back and the rolls on my back. And I got that taken care of. And, you know, she told me, I'm going to see you every 6 months and we're going to start doing head to toes. And I was like, excuse me, like, what is that? And she's like, well, I look at you from your head to your toe. And I was like, oh, okay. So I actually have my first head to toe coming up. I think it's actually next week, early December. We've had all these procedures I needed to do right away. So the head to toe is still coming up. But I'm thankful I've connected with a dermatologist who makes me feel safe and secure. And I feel like I had gone from like so being afraid of care providers to now, okay, now I just think all care providers are great. So when I went in for my mole surgery, which is where they, cut out the basal cell carcinoma, but they do it a slice at a time to try to preserve as much tissue as possible, so you're not really badly scarred. Meanwhile, on my back, like they're just kind of like, you know, ice cream scooped out my mole, which I don't care, but I really cared about my face because I, I'm a big girl with a pretty face, and I just was so, it just was in my head a lot, like, well, at least I still, you know, have a pretty face. And that I love myself and I love my body and I've been down this journey in body love. But there's something about your face, right? Whether you're big or small or whatever, but as a plus size person, especially, like, this is my face. And so the day of my mole surgery, I had the medical assistant with me most of the time for the prep and getting everything ready. And then the doctor walks in and he like is, I knew he was younger. So I kind of just assumed that he would be maybe like nicer. And he was very like, matter of fact, abrupt. And I already had this little thing rehearsed in my head of what I was going to say. And I don't know why I demeaned myself in the process. Cause I was like, I know I'm not a supermodel, but I really care about my face. And the work I do is a lot on camera. And like, and I should have just been like, I really care about how I look and I'm beautiful. And I know scars are beautiful too. And I just really want to minimize my scarring as much as possible. Because there's some vanity going on and there's nothing wrong with that. And then I'm also going to be clear, like, if you have scars on your face, I'm not, you're beautiful too. I judge you. Like, the way I see other people is not the same way I see myself. But he was just like, well, you're going to have a scar. And I'm like laying there on the table, like, or in the chair. Okay. Like, and, so he wasn't cold, but it was like, okay. He's like, well, we'll do what we can. And that's why we're doing the moles surgery. I'm like, okay. And then when he came back to stitch me up, I brought up the fact that I really like the dermatologist here in this office and how she makes me feel safe and secure and how I've had these bad experiences with being fat shamed in the past. And I really appreciated the question he asked because he asked, what makes, you know, you feel comfortable with her? And I explained that it wasn't just her bedside manner. It was that she asked me consent to touch me and even my son, because what I have on my back is genetic and what I have on my forehead is being stupid in my 20s and probably 30s too with not using sunscreen as much as I should. So wear your sunscreen. But on my back is genetic. So she wanted to see my son and my sibling, she said, need to get checked. So my sister is going to get checked out. My son's fine, but he needs to be checked routinely now. And I loved how she asked my son and explained everything to him of what she was going to do and asked if it was okay. And I explained that to him. And I'm sure he's a fantastic doctor. And I'm sure he's very busy and only had like his limited amount of time to do what he needed to do to my head. But I just now want more from care providers. I want consent as standard. I want things to be explained of what you're doing to my body when you're doing them. I know you have a job and you need to get it done fast. And I wish that the system wasn't built this way. But he like didn't make me feel great about it. But it's really hard when you're now, you've gone from one end of the spectrum of like being horrifically fat shamed to now like finding some care providers that make you feel good about yourself. And then you go to a doctor and you just get kind of like less than in between, kind of like, this is what I'm going to do. And this is what you have to do. And we're going to do it. Meanwhile, you're spending gobs and gobs of money to have these things done to your body. Or at least I am, because my insurance, well, I have insurance and I'm thankful, it's not covering nearly all of it at all. So I don't know. It's just been a journey. And I just am at this place where I'm like, okay, like he could have been better. And I will continue to talk to him and work on that with him, because I'll see him in 2 days to get my stitches taken out, and maybe I can warm him up a little. And maybe I can't. Maybe I can't. But I'm going to try. I feel like in my personal life from here on out, I'm just going to continue to share my story of I've been horrifically fat shamed. I know care providers can do better. Here's my experience. What questions do you have? How can I help you to understand what it's like to be a person my size receiving healthcare? And then professionally, like getting back on the mic here today, getting back to work. I've been writing a lot more articles over on plussizebirth.com, including like a whole article about, you know, care providers telling people their vaginas are too fat. And I hired a researcher to disprove everything and put that all into an article. And I'm just ready to battle. I feel like I spent so much of my career just trying to convince people that plus size people can have healthy outcomes and that we need to be treated with compassion and dignity. And now I'm like, okay, enough. Like, we're done. We now need to demand this. So I guess I'm sharing all of this rambling with you right now. With this little battle scar on my forehead that I'm touching, to say it's time to battle. Like, battle for your healthcare. Fight for what you deserve. And don't tolerate being treated like crap anymore. And I can say all that, and I can also acknowledge that there's privilege in that. Like, I have medical insurance. I could go to a different dermatologist if this one wasn't treating me kindly. And I know not everyone can. And that breaks my heart. I know not everyone can even go to the dermatologist to begin with. But if you can, please go get checked out. We all should get checked out. And also, you know, if you're in a situation with a healthcare provider and you can't switch, and this is what you have, then know that there are things that you can do to help you. We have studies, sadly, to show that even having one other person in the room with you can change the dynamics between a care provider and a patient, and providers are more thoughtful and careful about what they're saying. There was a study that showed a shift with just one person sitting in the corner not saying anything. And, you know, there are tools that you can use, like the BRAIN acronym, where you're asking a set of questions to receive informed consent. We've talked about it a lot on the show, and I'll put it in the show notes here of like, okay, well, what are the benefits of what you're suggesting? What are the risks? What are the alternatives? What happens next? What happens if I do nothing? And listening to your intuition. Like, we have some tools out there for people that are stuck in care provider situations that are not the most healthy, which, oh my gosh, like, that's so frustrating. It is so frustrating. And it just, yeah, I'm in that rage phase. I've gone from, like, you know, being sad and, you know, wishing things could be different, and even being depressed about how horribly I've been treated in the past, to now being like, no, we're done. We're done. We're not accepting this anymore. And acknowledging the privilege around that, and then doing what I can with my privilege to help others. And I know that there are really great care providers who also listen to this show. And I hope that you can, you know, take what you hear here and from other people and not only apply it to your own practice, whatever that may look like, whether you're a doctor, a nurse, a chiropractor, a massage therapist, but also talk to your colleagues. Like, now is the time to talk to your colleagues and say, hey, this needs to change. Like, people of size are literally dying because they're so afraid to go to the doctor. People are dying. People are, you know, having different tumors and different cancers and not seeking out care. And I am now one of them. Like, my story is great, happy ending, really common form of cancer. But I didn't go for like 2 years because I was afraid. And I'm not going to do that anymore. Like, I'm not. I'm done. Like, I can't. Like, I feel like I've worked so hard for so long to just be able to, like, walk through the world, like, go grocery shopping without caring what people think about me and what's in my cart. And now I need to apply that to, like, every aspect of my life. And it took years to get to that point with even just going to the grocery store. So I feel like it's been a build-up boiling point to where I am now with care providers. But clearly when you're laying there having your head cut open, it's not like I could be like, hey, could you maybe just, you know, be a little kinder right now and be aware of my feelings and concerns about what my face is going to look like after this. So I know there's a time and place for everything, but I'm glad I kind of shifted the conversation when he came back in to do the stitches of, hey, I've been treated really bad, and now I've been treated really great by someone else in your office, and I want to share what this experience has been like. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride, friends, and I have my head to toe coming up, and I really hope nothing else is found, and from now until the rest of my life, about every 6 months, and maybe I'll transition to a year, but for every 6 months for a while, I'm literally going to have a care provider examine every inch of my body. Like, I don't think it gets much more vulnerable than that. And she's really kind, and I know she'll be really quick about it, but whoo, it's like, okay, this needs to happen. And it's scary, but the minute I stop going and no longer prioritize my health because I'm afraid of her having to, like, lift my belly apron up to look under and see what she finds, like then I could have far worse growths and melanoma, or, you know, so many other things if it's not caught early enough, because I know not only do I have skin cancer from the sun, but I have a genetic form too on my back, and it could be elsewhere, and that is scary. So I just want to encourage everyone to defy and to demand the healthcare that you deserve, and to stop putting off appointments that you know are so critically important to go to for fear of being shamed. But I know how paralyzing that fear is. I do. Oh my gosh. Do I ever? Oh my gosh. I, like, want to, like, reach through your phone or however you're listening right now and hug you if you're like, yeah, Jen, like, I hear you're all pumped up right now, but I don't want to go get my pap smear, and I haven't for 5 years, and I just can't do it. And I'm just like, mm-hmm, I understand. But you need to do it. Like, it's time. It's time. And if you need to send me a message over on Instagram and be like, Jen, I'm really scared, I have to make this appointment, I'm going to be like, okay, like, make the appointment, and I'm going to be cheering you on. And then message me after you've made it. Like, I will be your accountability buddy. Like, I'm here for you. Legitimately, I am a message away. It might take me a little bit to get back to you, but I will, because I just want to encourage everyone to fight for the care that they deserve. And then know whatever the outcome will be of the care that you've been putting off, like my now scar on my forehead. Gosh, I wish I could rock bangs. That it's okay, and that I have always been and will forever be far more than just a pretty face, and that, you know, maybe I needed this whole experience to look at vanity and be like, okay, do you know what? It's let it go. Because my health and me being around and taking care of my son and not needing, you know, major invasive chemotherapy and cancer removal and all the things that could have happened had I just continued to ignore it. That who cares about one tiny scar? Like, it could have been so much worse. And that message that I was always more than a pretty face, and you are too. We all are. And we still have gorgeous faces, whether they have scars or acne or whatever. Who cares anymore? Like, we are just so much more than we give ourselves credit for, and so much more beautiful than we will ever realize within ourselves. Like, I look at all the rad accounts I follow on Instagram from so many people that don't look anything like me. Like, I really try to diversify my feed, and then also a lot of, you know, fat activists. And I just see these images of people and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you are all so beautiful. Like, wait a minute. I am too. I am too. And you are too. Yeah, this has been a whirlwind. Yeah, and just like, whatever you're going through, stop comparing it to others. Like, when I started being like, well, it's not that big of a deal. And maybe it's not. In the grand scheme of things, it's actually really not. But it was for me. And it really sucks. Like, you know, a couple days ago when I first took off my bandage, I just assumed that it was going to be one small little circle. I had no idea that there was going to be an inch long incision with stitches across my face. And I went on to FaceTime and sobbed with my sister. And she was so great. She said, like, what I've said to you, like, she validated my feelings. And then she's like, you're not even going to be able to notice it in a couple months. It's going to be fine. Like, let it go. But I, you know, you can feel all you're feeling now, but you will be okay, and you'll be able to let this go. So, yeah, friends. Oh, I really want to see things change. Like, I've seen growth in the past 10 years of doing this work, and I feel like there's a shift and there's momentum, and I just don't want to lose it. I want us to keep pushing and fighting and advocating for what we deserve, because we deserve it. And we deserve far more than the bare minimum. Like, I looking back, like, I really like this care provider, but I know that there are even better providers out there that will just do so much more for me. And I guess I started to question, like, was I just accepting the bare minimum when I started to have a few more conversations with him, especially about my mental health, and just didn't feel like I was fully being listened to and supported. So I want you to dig a little deeper. If you find care providers that you're like, oh, well, they're nice. Okay, they're nice, but then what's next? Like, are they really listening to all of your medical concerns? And then are they following up with those concerns? Are you getting referrals? Are they, you know, all the layers? So we can start at the bare minimum of, do they not make me feel like crap? To, okay, next, and keep fighting and keep digging, because you are worthy. You are so worthy, and so am I. And we'll all tie this all together of, you know, why this year has been particularly really hard, was, you know, in I shared a little bit about this, I think, on another episode. At the end of April, my husband's best friend died. And he was the guy that we all thought was just so healthy, and he would, you know, go climb mountains for fun. But he was also a smoker, a heavy smoker. And he didn't take care of himself. That boy ate more candy than my husband and I combined, but he existed in a smaller body. So, you know, people were concerned. And his, you know, emphysema turned to diabetes, and there were a few other things. And because of the state of the world right now, he was isolated for a long time, and he just suddenly died. And he's no longer with us. And he wasn't going to the doctor. And that has been really hard. And it has been one of the hardest losses that Chris and I have had to process through, because it's been so shocking and it was so preventable. So that combined with then, oh, and now I have skin cancer. And okay, well, now I have to, like, yeah, go to the doctor every 6 months and have them look at every inch of my body. Like, all of these things that are, like, I couldn't even imagine, like, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, if you don't do it, there can be consequences. And I'm older now. Like, when you're in your 20s and even 30s, it's so much easier to put stuff off. Who knew by your 40s you can't do that anymore? So, yeah, I don't mean to be a downer and so serious, but, like, I lost someone I deeply loved because they didn't go to the doctor because they weren't taking care of themselves. And I don't want to not be here. And I don't want to continue to put things off because I'm afraid of being shamed. And I don't want to tolerate being mistreated anymore, because I don't deserve it, and neither do you. We all deserve so much better. So my ask for you right now, as soon as you're done listening to this episode that went in like 7 different directions, and I hope I'm tying it together well now. You know, on these episodes, it's just you and me and the mic, and I push record and we'll just see what unfolds. Is that you make whatever doctor's appointment that you've been putting off, that you make that appointment, and feel free to send me a message over on Plus Mommy on Instagram. Please do. And I'll be cheering you on. And then that next piece of, like, get angry. Like, let's get mad. Let's start demanding. Like, let's start speaking up on our Facebook pages, in Facebook groups. Like, I know everyone's focused on Instagram and TikTok, but, like, there's still so many people on Facebook. And these are primarily people that we're really close with and have intimate family in real life relationships with, and post stuff like, you know, share your experiences if you're comfortable of things that have happened to you in the healthcare. I think we need to keep raising the bar and raising awareness that there's a lot of mistreatment happening, and it needs to stop. And the more that we're talking about it, the more that we're demanding better care, the more that we're firing care providers, if possible, that treat us horribly, the more we will see things shift. There's a statistic that says that it takes about 20 years once something is established as evidence-based in medicine to see change. So evidence, we have studies to show that shaming people or people feeling ashamed by a care provider makes them less likely to receive routine care and more likely to gain weight. So we can establish that shame is not an effective tool, yet it's been one that has been used in healthcare for so, so long. And I'm not going to be 60 talking to y'all on the Plus Mommy podcast and being like, finally. Okay, I probably won't sound like that at 60, but I don't want to be like, finally, things are better now. And, you know, people of size aren't being treated like crap. Like, no, I'm not waiting that long. Like, no. It's no. I'm going to fight. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to brawl. I've got my scar now and I'm ready to go. So let's go. Let's go. Make that appointment. Fight for the healthcare you deserve. I love you all so much. I'm going to plug back into the show. You'll hear me again next week. I've got some really incredible episodes coming up with some amazing people doing outstanding work, some really powerful birth stories, some great people an actress and some singers, and just like some really great stuff that will hit your airwaves soon. So let's plug back in. I'm sorry I've been away. I just needed some time to get sad, to grieve, and now I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to go. I'm gonna keep going and fighting for myself and for you. All right, I love you so much. Yeah, friends. Until next time. Bye.